Hey everybody, welcome to the show. You know who I am. I'm Tigo. Today we're doing a live show, man. We're gonna have Peggy McCall on. Now, she's been on the show before, and I asked her when she was here before if she would come back and do a Q&A session. So if you guys have been thinking about you want to be an author, you want to be a writer, you're facing your fears, any of that kind of stuff, you know, drop us a comment in the chat and we'll see if Miss Peggy can't, you know, answer those questions. I've already gotten quite a few questions have been submitted to me. So we're going to be asking her some questions, getting some answers. And, you know, that it's like your reach is as far as the people you connect with. So you want to connect with fantastic people so that you can expand your brand, who you are, whether you're an entrepreneur or a writer, or you work at a corporate job. It's all about the people and who you connect with and how it runs and blah, 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 blah. So I'm so excited that she's here. She is my new friend. She is a part of a big event we've got coming up. Oh yeah, Miss Peggy McCall is here, y'all. What's happening? Hey, Peggy.
Hey, so, you know, we got on the phone this morning and said, so what are you wearing today? I think I'll wear red. Okay, me too. We got color coordinated.
It means we're connected. We're connected. We're connected.
Absolutely. How are you doing?
I am super good. How are you doing?
On fire, baby. On fire. Feeling great.
That is awesome. You know, you are such a busy lady. And whenever I call you, you say, sure, let's figure out our calendar. Let's get together. And I just want to start out by saying thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And how much, you know, I love you and I am such a fan of yours. You are definitely a mentor of mine.
Well, right back at you. You know, what I love about you is how much you love helping other people. And that's what I love. So we're definitely sisters from another mister. We are absolutely have that kinship there. That's something we share in common for sure.
Hey, Dr. Karen is out there watching and she says, hi, Peggy.
Hey there.
You know, I want to talk with you about your book. You came on a couple of months ago, right after it pretty much just launched. There it is, Savvy Wisdom.
My baby.
Your baby. And you were so kind to me because I explained to you that I'm dyslexic and I don't really sit down and like read like most people do. I listen. I'm an audio kid. And before your book even went to Audible, you said, you know what? Here's the audio files. Go listen to the book. And I did. And I love it.
So you got to hear the version with Bob, right? Bob talking and Peggy talking.
Yeah, I did. It was awesome. It was like, he's there, you're there. I'm sitting there picturing it because I'm a very visual person. So I can see you sitting on the bench. You know, I can see you on your walks. I can see you in the conversation through the book. And I just want to thank you for doing that for me, because quite often when I have an author on, I get highlights from my business partners or my assistant or something, and they tell me what the highlights of the book is, because I don't read it. And they don't usually have an audio book. And if they do, they don't share it with me. We need to talk about that.
We do need to talk about that. Send them over to me, Teresa. I'll take care of them.
So let me ask you, let's go back a little bit. Let me ask you about being a New York Times bestseller. The first time this happened, where were you? What was your reaction? And did you believe it?
Oh my goodness, that's such a great question. I love this. Okay, I remember exactly where I was. I was standing in my kitchen, in my home. The phone rang. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I noticed on the phone, the call display said it was my agent, my literary agent, Kathy Hemming, who lives in New York. And so I saw the phone number light up and I was expecting her call. And I pick up the phone and she said, hey, Peg, it's Kath. And I just want you to know that I just found out that your book, Your Destiny Switch, made it on the New York Times bestseller list. And I was on the phone and I'm standing up, I'm listening to her, and I'm actually jumping up and down like I'm on a pogo stick. But here's the weird thing. This is so bizarre. As I was doing that, I was thinking to myself, I don't feel any different. Oh. I don't. Now, this is significant. It's significant because the truth is how one manifests is that you must feel as if the outcome that you desire is already in your life now. You've got to feel it as if it's in your life now. Therefore, when the actual event occurs, meaning the goal is manifested, there is no reason for you to feel anything other than what you've already been feeling. I was already feeling like a New York Times bestselling author. I already knew I was a New York Times bestselling author long before the evidence ever showed up in my life. And that's how you manifest. But I remember it like it was yesterday, because I remember standing there and my son was just coming in from school. His dad was dropping him off. And I heard, it's my ex-husband, and I heard him say to my son, Michelle, like, what's going on with your mom? Why is she jumping up and down? And Michelle turned to his dad and said, well, she just found out her book made the New York Times bestseller list. And I saw him go, his face dropped. It's like, what? You know, really? So he was surprised. He obviously hadn't been living that image in his mind, but so that's what happened.
So I know somebody is out there watching right now, or maybe they're watching a recording later and they're starting their first book. They've always wanted to be a writer. They said, this is it for me. And they're sitting there telling themselves right now, that'll never be me. I'll never be a New York Times bestseller. That can't happen. That only happens to people like Miss Peggy. You know, what would you tell that person who's just starting to put pen to paper?
Yeah, I would say what Zig Ziglar would have said, that stinking thinking. That is not going to get you anywhere except into a place of unsatisfied or dissatisfaction. That's exactly what it'll do. I would suggest if you're going to become an author, decide to be a huge author, a successful author, be a New York Times bestselling author. You know, it's available to anyone. It doesn't matter who you are, where you live. I don't live in the United States. I'm a Canadian. I live in the nation's capital of city of Ottawa, and I'm a New York Times bestselling author. And I know many other authors. There's a young lady from Japan who became a New York Times bestselling author. It doesn't matter where you live. So, you know, why authors write their books. I mean, I've got 19, The Savvy Wisdom was book number 19 and so forth. We write them to help people, or we write them to entertain people if it's a fiction book. Yeah. Or maybe both, because that's really what Savvy Wisdom does. It's a parable, so it's a fiction with valuable lessons in it. But here's the point. You don't write a book to sit in a box somewhere in a basement or to sit in a back room. You write it to get out there in the world so people can enjoy it, right? So I would suggest, decide, what would you love? And that's how you answer the question. You think about, what would I love? Understanding that there's no limits. Now, I would think that what happens is, as soon as someone starts to think about what would I love, they start thinking, I'm not even a great writer, or, you know, I don't live in that country, or I'm not old enough, or I'm not young enough, or some other negative, destructive idea that's never going to serve you. When that kind of stuff comes up, I call that garbage. And that needs to be put where it belongs, in the can and thrown out. Like, it's like, out, you demons. Like, it's going to destroy. It's negativity, and it only takes a little bit and it will destroy dreams. So even if you think, oh, okay, I'm listening to Peggy and I'm thinking, okay, well, I wouldn't mind being a New York Times bestselling author. That'd be pretty cool. And they think, oh, but I don't know. Like, I don't even know how to write a book. I've never written a book before. I don't even consider myself a great writer. As soon as that comes up, recognize what's going on and shut it down. Shut it down. What you do in the process of manifesting is decide, what would you love? And then what do you need to believe in order to create it? So when I decided I was going to be a New York Times bestselling author, I didn't write my books to sit in a box. I wrote them to help people. I decided I would create the vision of what I would love as far as an outcome is concerned, and then live from the vision. You live from the vision. You know, earlier today, I'm going to show you something, Teresa. I set this up. Earlier today, I was just getting ready for something, and I have this little section in my office here. Can you see that?
I like the license plate.
Paraphernalia. I got the personalized license plate of Savvy Wisdom. I have my Oscar here. You know, I've got some other paraphernalia from the book. And the reason why I created that is there's a vision that I have for Savvy Wisdom as well. And that vision is a vision of success. And when I'm listening to myself talk to myself, which I do every day, which everyone does every day, I just direct certain things to my consciousness through my Power Life script. And I listen to it every day talking about how successful Savvy Wisdom is and how the movie is a big success as well, because it's being made into a movie. Yeah.
We got to get to that. Don't give away the secret. That's coming up. Yeah, we got to get to that. But wait, before you go further in the story, now my mom told me everybody talks to themselves as well, and that's okay, but you shouldn't tell anybody. Is that not right? Or is it okay to tell people you talk to yourself? Because you just did.
Depends. Well, you know, here's what I believe. It doesn't matter what anyone thinks of you. It doesn't matter what anyone thinks of me. And so we're in control. I'm in control of what I think. I'm in control of what I feel. And so, I mean, you could tell anybody anything, but if you're prone to being sensitive to feedback, then I would suggest being cautious. If you don't give a rat's excuse my language.
Hey, you know, we don't.
if you're strong in your, you know, if you have a protective mechanism, like I imagine a plexiglass shield around me. If there's anyone that's in the room or around that's negative, right? Just don't let it in. Just don't let it in. And of course, if it's going on in here, recognize what's going on, that negative thinking, and just shut it down because you're in control.
Or as you said, our friend, because I never got to meet him, but he was my hero, Zig Ziglar. Get rid of that stinking thinking, right?
Yes, I got to meet Zig. He was wonderful. What a wonderful being he was.
Oh, wow. I would have loved to meet him. I was literally so sad when he passed away. People thought that he was a member of my family. I didn't leave my house for like a week and a half. And it was way before COVID. It just took the rug out from under me. But we'll get into that story sometime later. You know, I got to stop and say, Gregory Hammond, I know he's a super fan of yours. He's also, also his coach. He's here. He's watching and he's out there. He says hi. And hey, then Dr. Karen dropped in and said, she's a New York Times bestselling author as well. Woo! So they're hanging out. You know, I know that we've got something coming up on Saturday. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I know that Gregory's got a part of that. So we won't even talk about what that is. Ooh. But I got to ask you a question. You know, in your book, you mentioned it. I've heard you say it before on other interviews that I've watched with you and even with me. You've said, don't worry about the how.
Right.
And that is what everybody worries about. They don't even, you know, go to the grocery store because they're worried about the how. So how do you get past worrying about the how and get to the doing?
That's good. That is that's probably one of the best questions I think I've ever been asked, to be honest. So the truth is, you don't have to know how. And that is, you're right, the biggest challenge that most people are faced with. So what do you need? You need faith. Mm-hmm. So you have to have faith before you get to the doing. You've got to believe in the unseen. You got to believe in your dream. You got to imagine, because you have a mental faculty called imagination. I have a mental faculty called imagination. Gregory Hammond has that. Teresa has that. We all have that. So what you do, it's a muscle. It's like an emotional muscle as well. Faith is an emotional muscle. So if you decide, let's use the New York Times bestseller example. If you decide you would love to be a New York Times bestselling author, do you believe it's possible for you? Now, Teresa, I'm sure you do.
I had to get around the greatest people like Zig Ziglar and yourself for me to believe it, because I'm one of the biggest naysayers about my believing in myself. But I'm getting better. I'm getting better.
Excellent. Well, better is good. As Bob says, better is a good word. It certainly is. So if you are suspicious or don't believe it, just imagine for a moment you are that which you desire to be, whether it's New York Times bestseller or whether, like Gregory, is a destiny coach, whether you're the top coach in the world, whatever it is, you imagine it to be. And so you've got to go from the place of thinking you don't know how, or I have to know how, to understanding you are going to work in harmony with the laws of the universe. Mm-hmm. When you understand how manifesting occurs, how it takes place, recognizing that, yes, you have a role, but so does the universe, and you have to trust it. Right. You just have to trust that whatever is going to be. Now, your responsibility is your responsibility. You must abide by that. And that means that you feel as if what you desire is already in your life now. That's the way you live. The how's going to show up. You might even figure out the how after the fact. And maybe something like Steve Jobs used to say, we can connect the dots looking backwards. Well, of course we can connect the dots looking backwards, because it's already happened, right? We can now look back and go, oh, okay, now I see how that happened. Like, Teresa, you've heard me share the story about buying a house when I had no money, right? I took a cash advance on my Visa and I went out and bought a house and had no money to do it and didn't know how. And of course, you've heard and listened to Savvy Wisdom. So you heard a story in there of Sophie. You know, Sophie had a vision to own a home. She didn't know how it was going to happen, but she fixated on the outcome. And that's what you do. But when I say fixated on the outcome, I mean, you're fixated on the feeling state of imagining that it's in your life now. And by doing that, the how shows up. Now, that's a challenge for most people, because they're like, I want to see it before I believe it. But that's not the way it works. You believe it and then you see it.
Right. Exactly. But most people, if they can't see it, that's what stops them. You know, they want to write a book. They want to start a business. They want to have another child. And they sit there and go, I have no idea how I'm going to pay for this. My job isn't hiring anymore. We just came out of COVID. You know, no, I can't do it. And they freeze themselves. Correct.
Right. You know, you mentioned child, having another child. So as you know, I just gave birth to my granddaughter.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. 2 weeks ago, she was born on May 2nd. And to me, she's like a miracle baby, because my daughter-in-law was diagnosed just a few years ago. So we have my grandson who's almost 10, and that's her first child. I have one son. So I have one son who now has two children. So we have my grandson, you know, they had him when they were 18, so young, and I was thrilled. Not every parent of a teenager would be thrilled, but I was. And so they wanted to have another baby, and they tried and tried and tried and tried for years. Well, she finally got pregnant. And she was pregnant. We're all celebrating. And then she lost the baby. Oh. Now, she also had been diagnosed with a disease that's what's called incurable. Now, I don't believe there's incurable diseases. I think there's diseases they just haven't found the cure for, but there's a cure already. They just haven't found it yet. So she had been diagnosed with an incurable disease. And there wasn't a lot of studies done about this, whether it's safe to get pregnant, whether you can carry to full term and all of that. And I said to her, and she asked me about this, right? I said, just focus on what you would love. What would you love? To have a healthy baby. And what she wanted was a healthy baby girl. Now, I know you can't just order them up like that, right? Okay, well, this time I'd like a baby girl. And so I said to her, just, you know, set the intention. You're having a healthy pregnancy, a healthy baby, and you've got your baby. And she decided she's having a baby girl. And sure enough, she went full term and gave birth to a beautiful baby girl. But I know that for her, because of what she had gone through, because of her health challenges, because of losing a baby, because trying for many, many years and not getting pregnant, I know it was a challenge, because there's lots of evidence there to say the opposite is true of what she wanted. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what people do. They look at the evidence and they go, well, it can't happen. It just can't happen. It's like, you got to stop looking at what won't work or what hasn't worked in the past. And you got to go to this place called infinite possibilities, because we live in a world of infinite possibilities. We really do live in an infinite possibilities. But if you don't believe, you're never going to manifest anything in your life.
You know, you bring that up, and it makes me want to skip, because I have a little order, and you know me, I have no desire to follow the order of the questions that I have here. And I know there are people out there watching it right now going, sure, Peggy can say that. She's Peggy. Of course she can. She can live whatever life she wants to live. And they're sitting there and they're stopping themselves from even trying, because I believe the success is in the details. The idea is easy. It's the details that you got to get to. What do you tell someone about living their best life, you know, living the life of their dream, even if it doesn't mean money? You know, to a lot of people, life of your dreams is not money. You know, it's your new grandbaby. I think that if you had a choice between the next three best-selling books on New York Times or your little granddaughter, you're going to take your granddaughter every day and twice on Sunday. So what do you tell somebody who's not living the life of their dreams, or maybe they are, and as my mother said, they always think the grass is greener on the other side, so they're not accepting and enjoying the life that they have when they look at it. What do you think of that?
Well, I believe, and I really believe in my heart, you can have it all. meaning you can have a happy, healthy, loving relationship. Like my greatest treasures in my life is my family. So you know me well, Teresa. We haven't known each other long, but we really get each other.
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, you're right on there. It's, you know, it's my husband who I've been with now for 16 and a half years. I mean, he was a manifestation. He's an absolute blessing in my life. I love him so much. And it's just so wonderful to be in a happy, healthy relationship because I've been in the other kind and they're not so much fun. And of course, my son, Michelle, who is the light of my life, and my grandson, my granddaughter, my daughter-in-law, I've been very blessed. I just thank God for that. So I have that in my life. My family is my priority. I have that in my life. But I also have the most amazing business, you know, that I'm so blessed to serve people. I love getting up every day. I just give thanks to God every day that I get to do what I do. And, you know, we're very well off. We're doing really well financially. And that, I believe, is because of making a decision. Now, I don't believe it's all about the money. Now, that may sound a little strange because I help people with prosperity consciousness. And Bob Proctor wrote a book called It's Not About the Money, and absolutely agree with him wholeheartedly. I do what I do, and I know you do what you do because of the love for the materials, the love for this has changed my life. Is it possible to share my screen? I've got a picture here that I would love to share if that's
possible. I believe you can hit the share button below. I did not restrict it, so it should work.
So I'm going to hit share screen. And we're going to go over to a picture that I created here on, let's see, window. Okay, let's go to window. Perfect. How's that? Okay, so what we're looking at is a picture from the yearbook. Now, you see my big smile there? No. Miserable.
She said, you see my big smile there? No.
There's a miserable girl who was very unhappy, suicidal, in fact, as you know. And that home is actually a picture of the home I was raised in. And that home is about 600 square feet. I lived there with my mom, my dad, my two brothers, and my sister. And the four kids, we shared a tiny little room. And I shared a bed. It was a three-quarter size bed with my sister. My brothers were in bunk beds in the same room. And my parents both worked full-time jobs. And they were both unhappy. My father worked as a janitor. My mother worked at a factory. And then she got a job as a checkout clerk. And I wasn't educated, wasn't formally educated. I barely made it through high school. I could go over there in the cupboard. I have all my report cards and pull them out and we could have a good laugh, you know, at the report cards, especially the comments of the teachers, you know, like Peggy doesn't concentrate, doesn't focus. Like, and I used to get thrown out in the hall all the time. I wasn't interested in school. So when I got out of school, all I wanted to do was go and earn money. I just loved earning money. And I was in love with that. And in 1994, I decided to incorporate a company. I remember telling my parents that, okay, remember, father, janitor, mother, you know, worked
right
in a grocery store. You're going to do what? You know, like, that's craziness right there. Like, you know, do you know most businesses fail within the first blah, blah, blah? And it's like, okay, you know, it's like the kid that doesn't want to hear it. Like, I'm not listening. You just don't let it in. So it doesn't matter where you came from, you know, what your background, what your experience is, anyone can turn their life around. But I'll tell you this, none of it would have occurred if I hadn't dove into the study. Like I absolutely became a phenomenal student and I consider myself a phenomenal student to this day. Why? Because nothing stays the same. Your life is either going to get better or it's going to get worse. You got to decide which side of that equation you want to be on. I choose to be on the side of it's getting better. And here on my desk, I have a little sticky note that says, I live in the joyous expectancy of the best, and I expect more good now than I've ever experienced before. And I got to say, I've experienced a heck of a lot of good, but it can get better and better for anyone.
You know, when we started the conversation, when you first came in this afternoon, you said, I love to serve. And I do. I love to serve. And I know you love to serve. The latest phrase seems to be, how can I serve you? You know, and that comes from so many, you know, motivational people, coaches, blah, blah, blah. And they're teaching you, you know, sales is service and you must learn to serve. How do you know what that means for real? I know in my heart that whether I get paid for it or not, I'm going to do whatever I can for that person who is sitting in front of me. And for people that I may not even know, if I can touch them in some way and help them down the road, you know, it took me 18 years to sit in this seat. I'm helping people sit in the seat in 18 months or even 18 days. Yeah. So when you say you love to serve, what does that mean for you?
Well, I believe it's got to come straight from the heart. It's an energy. It's an expression of what you really genuinely feel. Mm-hmm. And have you heard that term double binding messages?
No.
Okay. So the term double binding messages means that you're saying something, but you're feeling another. And okay. So a great example of that is people that are out there today, and you see them like Teresa, you see them, I see them online and they're out there, you know, they're talking and we see commercials and they're talking about how you can earn all this money and blah, blah, blah. And so what are they saying? Well, they're saying that, you know, there's this great opportunity to, you know, to do what you love and earn lots of money. But what they're feeling is, I want your money, right? Oh. I want your money. Do they care? Probably not. And absolutely. So you asked me the question, how do you know? Here's what I believe the answer is. You know, based on your intuition. Like, I make decisions with my intuition. If somebody wants to sell me something or offer me something, I'm paying attention to what am I feeling energetically off this person, whether it's a Zoom call, whether it's an email, whether it's a phone call, whether it's, you know, whatever, face-to-face conversation, I'll determine by what my heart says. And if you're feeling something's not right here, I don't think they really want to help me. I think they just want my money. I'm never going to see them again. You're probably right.
You're probably right. You know, we've mentioned Zig Ziglar a couple of times, and one thing I did for years, I had a round business card because of his round tulips, you know, because of his round tulips. And he said, there's not that many negative people in the world, but they travel around a lot. And I have to admit, that's what I feel. But now with the internet, just as much good, which I hope is 99% good, that you can get from being so close and so easy access with the internet, you would also connect with the kind of the negative too. And right. It's like, you gotta be cautious. And even though you and I have never physically sat in the same room yet, this will happen, we get the vibe of, you know, this is my sister, this is my friend. We're gonna be friends forever. You know, my grandson and your granddaughters are gonna hang out. Yeah, they're gonna hang out. My grandson will be 2 in July, and he already thinks he's 12. So he's gonna show your granddaughter around. He's gonna say, this is how you get what you want, kid, do what I do. But I just think that there's so many people out there that are missing their blessings, missing the good fortunes that they already have in front of them because they're constantly looking out there. You know, and they're not looking at what's right in front of them.
So true.
You know. My oldest grandson is here this week visiting, and he's 14 going on 15, but I always say 14 going on 35. And I look at him and I go, oh my God, I remember when he was, you know, 2 feet. Yeah. And now he's taller than I am. You know, his voice is changing. Wow. And I'm so worried about the network and the show and everything that we're doing, that I'm missing things with this young man growing up that I'm never going to get back. So how do you balance your life between personal
so good
and professional? Because you lady have a calendar that most people in a month have in a year. So how are you doing that?
Well, I like being busy. I really do. And if I'm not busy, I'll get busy, but I'm pretty much always busy. But here's what I do. I block off time. For example, my daughter-in-law sent me a message yesterday and she said, James, it's my grandson who's almost 10, and Kayla, my daughter-in-law, and my granddaughter, Aria, are going to come over Wednesday for a swim in the pool because we opened our pool the other day. And I said, great, we'll have a barbecue. It'll be, you know, really nice to see you guys. And so I went into my agenda and I actually didn't have anything beyond 3 o'clock. So I block it off. But what I typically do is I create rules for myself to have the balance. So the rules are, and they're soft rules, which means there's some bending there. And so my rules are, in the evening, I don't have appointments. I don't do calls. I don't do appointments usually. However, if there was a request for an evening, and I think, Teresa, we had that when you had the International Women's Day, you had me on in the evening. And I remember that because it's rare that I work evenings. And the reason is because that's my family time. That's when I finish, you know, work for the day. I'm in my office with the door closed. My husband's retired. He's been retired for many years. I'll go out and it's time for me to be with Denis, and for us to enjoy time together. So we'll have dinner together. We'll go walk the dogs. We'll do some fun stuff, maybe sit outside around the fire or something like that. And then weekends are my family time or just quiet time. Now, there might be some weekends where I'm doing a little bit of work. I was running an event a couple weekends ago, or when I used to travel, you know, before COVID, you know, I'd be traveling on weekends, and that's fine. But I believe you have to set the rules for your own life and stick with them. Don't allow, like if someone, a client says to me, I'd like to have a meeting at 9 o'clock on, unless it's an emergency, it's probably not going to happen. I'm available between this time and this time. And let's find a convenient time that's going to work for both of us.
Right. Right. You know, a good friend of ours, because I would not know you if it wasn't for Jennifer Hammond, she introduced us. And when we did International Women's Day and I told her you were going to be coming on and we were pretty full for the day already, you know, she even said, I don't know. She doesn't really do, you know, late, but I don't know. And when I was like, oh man, maybe she won't do it. And you said, yes. And I'm like, yes, you know, she's coming. It's awesome. It's awesome. But yeah, I have to say hi to Jennifer because, you know, thank you. She's introduced me to some amazing people with you at the top of the list. And she's out there. I know she's watching. And yes, thank you so much for that evening visit. And thank you for, you know, coming every time I call, pretty much.
She's an amazing woman. You know, she was so thoughtful. Like, she's extraordinary.
Yeah.
And she sent an adorable, I have it actually just out in the other room because my granddaughter's coming here on Wednesday. She sent me this little, what do you call it? Like a toy, a plush toy, pink, beautiful toy for my granddaughter. And it was so thoughtful, like really thoughtful. And then with a card with savvy wisdom, like she's a wise woman for sure. A wise and thoughtful woman.
She is a wise and thoughtful woman. You know, one of my business partners is on, his name is Alan Estrada. And he says, manifest your success, Peggy McCall dropping the knowledge. Yes, she is. Yes, she is. So how important is believing in yourself, in what you're doing, in life? How important is believing?
Everything. It's everything. It's like the secret ingredient. It really is. You got to believe it, but most people don't. So I like to think of it as an emotional muscle that you can build. Like if we wanted to get in shape, we would go to the gym, but I wouldn't just go to the gym and stand there and watch other people, you know, working out and head home and go, oh, I went to the gym today, because it'd be absolutely no benefit in that whatsoever.
Right.
But if
I went
to the gym and I found someone who knew what they were talking about, were very familiar with what I was looking for, and they gave suggestions for how to work out, and I worked out and I came home, I'm still not done. I'm still not done. The muscles are going to be, you know, saggy, floppy, whatever. And so what do I need to do? I got to go back tomorrow, and I got to go back the next day and back the next day. And depending on what outcome I'm looking for, meaning toned, hot body of a 30-year-old or whatever.
Ooh, sign me up.
Well, there's work involved.
Oh, and so, never mind.
and it's not just any work. It's like daily work. And I feel the same way with belief systems. Like if you want to have something, you've got to build that foundation, which the foundation is the belief system that will support you. It's going to support you with attracting. So here's the process to do it. Well, number one, what is it that you would love? So you think about that, understanding you don't have to know how, you do not have to know how, you do not have to know how. So decide on what you would love.
Wait, do you have to know how?
And then you think about, well, what do I need to believe in order to have that? Well, I need to believe it's possible. I need to believe it's possible for me. I need to believe it's already done. I need to believe that it was easy. I need to believe that I'm capable. I need to believe that I'm enough. You know, I need to believe that I'm worthy. Whatever that is, what do you need to believe in order to have that? And then you go straight to feeling as if it's here. Now, when you're feeling as if it's here, you're building the muscle. When you're writing in your gratitude journal about how wonderful your life is, you're building the muscle. When you're staring at your vision board, mine's over there. When you're staring at your vision board, you're building the muscle. I showed you that little shrine for savvy wisdom that I created that has the Oscar and, you know, other stuff. There's a photo there with that actor. I suppose we're going to talk about that. That's building the belief. Why? Because I'm seeing it every day. I'm emotionalizing it. In other words, I'm feeling what it feels like to have that as an outcome. I'm building the muscle. That's how you do it. So belief is everything. everything. You've got to build the belief in order to experience what you would love.
Now, I know you're not saying it, but I'm going to say it. You know, this is like the disclaimer you see on a television show. You are not saying that everything will happen just by believing. You got to do the work too, correct?
Right. Well, that is part of the work. You know, it's an important part of the work. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, the next part, which becomes challenging, is people are thinking, okay, I'd really love to have that, but I don't know what to do. And then what do? They get frustrated, right? Like, and it's like, it's not working for me. This is going to sound overly simplistic, but it's absolutely true. Any negative emotion, any frustration, anger, worry, doubt, guilt, any negative emotion, overwhelm, is destructive. It's destructive. You want to notice when you're in it and snap yourself out of it as fast as humanly possible. How do you snap yourself out of it? Many different ways. Ask yourself, what would I love? Oh, well, I love this outcome. Okay, what does that feel like? And you go straight to the feeling. You want to get out of that negative energy as fast as you possibly can and put yourself back in alignment with what you desire. Because when you're in alignment, meaning you're feeling as if it's already in your life, you're going to get ideas. You will attract ideas into your mind. You'll get an email that'll land in your inbox, or you'll see a video, or you'll hear somebody say something, or somehow, some way, you're going to find the way. You're going to find the way. So what do you have to do? You got to decide what you want. You got to feel as if it's in your life right now. You're going to be building the belief systems while you're doing that. And it's going to happen. How? Boop. Who knows how? That's the universe's job. Thankfully, it's not yours.
You know I got to let you out of here soon. And we got a couple of things, big things we need to talk about. But before we do that, I got to drop this little bit of a note. You know, Gregory Hammond says, borrow the belief from Peggy if you aren't comfortable fully believing it. And I totally believe that, you know, get around more positive people.
Yeah.
You know, because there's so many naysayers. I happen to come from a family. My parents were literally sharecroppers, you know, so for me to want to start a business, started my first business when I was 10, my father thought I had absolutely lost my mind. And every step that I made, he said, no, that makes no sense. No, that's never going to happen. And then when it happened, he went, well, wait a minute. And then I did it again. And then I did it again. But my family was like, they believed in unions, working, you know, whatever hours. They would work overtime if they wanted to buy a boat or if they wanted to go on a family vacation. They didn't believe in believing, like what you're saying right now. They didn't think that happened for us.
Right.
You know what I mean? They didn't think that happened for us. So I have one question I got to ask, and it's more of a clarity. In the book, I heard you mention it. In our conversations, you've mentioned it. You mentioned it today. Focus. Mm. Focus and visualization. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you?
Oh, you know, you've heard the expression, hold an idea with your will. Your will is a mental faculty. And you have it, I have it, everyone has it. No one is excluded from this. Mm-hmm. But when you hold your attention on your desire and you give it that focus, you're holding it with your will, and you're emotionalizing it, you're feeling it, you're in a manifestation mode. You're in full-on manifestation mode. You are manifesting that in your life. Now, a lot of people have a challenge focusing on what they want. Why? Because they continue to look at what they don't want. They continue to look at present results. So they look at their bank balance. It's not where they want it to be. And what do? They get frustrated. Or they look at their credit card statement and go like, how am I ever going to pay that off? And they get emotionally involved in that. So what you want to do is you want to focus on what you desire and hold that idea with your will. And what you're doing is you're thinking about it, and thinking creates feelings. And it's your thoughts and your feelings that are going to determine what's going to show up in your life.
Yeah, I totally believe that. I mean, you know, measure twice, cut once. That's what I was taught when I was a kid. And it seems like people get stuck in the point of measuring and they go, well, my ruler doesn't reach that far, so I'm not even going to try. Mm-hmm. And they don't realize that right around the corner, right down the street, so the very next morning could be the answer they were looking for. But because they stopped focusing, they stopped visualizing, the answer went right by them and they missed it. You know, what do you think about that?
Yeah, you're absolutely true. Because you're only going to see what's based on your beliefs. Like people become blinded. Like, earlier today I was online and I was studying stories of people that have created empires, like huge success during COVID, and people that owned restaurants, which, most people would have just given up. But they didn't. So what they do, they said, okay, there's got to be another way. There's got to be another way. We're driven for a reason. They have a family at home. They have mouths to feed. They got a roof to keep, over their head, the lights on. They want to keep the lights on. I mean, those are situations that'll drive you to create better results. I've been there.
So we've been holding it. I've been holding it. I got to know. One, we got to tell people where to find Savvy Wisdom. Almost everywhere, in case you don't already know this. But then we got to talk about what's next for Savvy Wisdom. Because you got big stuff happening.
We do. We do. There's a lot of exciting things coming from Savvy Wisdom. So Savvy Wisdom, it's S-A-V-Y, by the way, for anyone. You can find it anywhere on Amazon.com, or you can go to SavvyWisdom.com because I've got a whole bunch of gifts over there for anyone that goes to my website. And I did create a course from Savvy Wisdom called Savvy's Proven Success Principles, so people can apply what was shared in the book. But the screenplay is being written right now, and I believe it's close to being done. I was told that it would be around the middle of May, and I think we're at the middle of May now.
Almost exactly the middle.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm just going to check in today with the production company that has. I've seen part of it. It's amazing. It just brings joy to my eyes to see it evolve. And so the next part is we're going to secure our A-list actors and have them enter into a contract. And then we're going to book the production. So it'll go into production. Woo. And so I was told that it's probably going to be fall of 2022 when the movie comes out.
I had to do it. I had to do it.
I think that is so cute.
Awesome. I think that's fantastic. And somehow I got to get a cameo in this movie. We have to be selling ice cream or walking down the park. Or I got to get in. We'll talk about that later. I'll beg you at another time. I'll beg you at another time. So are you excited? Are you going to appear in it? Tell me details.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll appear. It might be like you, cameo. You and I will be sitting, I don't know, we'll be somewhere walking by or something. Or maybe we'll be the nurse in the hospital. I don't know. But
I got it.
Definitely get into that. We've been talking about where we're going to film it as well. And I believe that there's a number of benefits to filming in Canada, because I suggested, why don't we go and film it where it actually happened, like where I was raised, like go to that park and go to that area. So it may be being filmed in Canada, but they haven't determined that yet. But it's pretty exciting seeing it all come to be. One of my very close friends is a Hollywood producer, an Academy Award winning Hollywood producer. And, he understands that side of the business and he's educating me on what goes on. And I totally trust him. Like, he believes in the story, believes in the message, believes in the movie. And it's wonderful to be surrounded with people like that.
Well, on a side note, you can just tell him if he needs somebody to be his PA or, carry his clipboard, he needs a grip, something like that. I'll travel. I'll be there. All I need is to be able to walk through the park or sit next to Peggy on the side or something. And I'll be right over.
It'll be fun to have you in there.
The other thing, and I know I got to get you out of here. The other thing that we've got to talk about is Saturday. We've got a major event coming up and I'm so honored and privileged to have you be a part of this. And I want to pay a little trailer. And a part of the Now Honors, the very first Now Honors. We created Network of Outstanding Women, women like yourself, and you agreed to be our first ever Woman of the Year. And I want to thank you so, so much for being a part of that. I can't wait till the event. It's Saturday, this coming Saturday, May 22nd. We're starting at 9 a.m. Pacific time, which is 12 noon on the East Coast. And it's a full day event. We're honoring six women, including yourself. I just think it's time. And I'm so I don't know, overjoyed, I guess is the word I want to say, and talk about believing. This is something we thought of years ago. And how do we make this happen? And then we decided to do it in 2021. And it's like, but there's this little thing called COVID. And how do we do that? But then there's programs like this one that we're on with StreamYards and others. And we're going to virtually do it this year. But thank you so much for being a part of this. Woo! I can't wait to honor you on Saturday.
I can't wait for your event. Everything you do is so well done, Teresa. I just love you. Love what you're doing in the world. And you've got beautiful, beautiful heart and such a genuine spirit to constantly give to so many others. So I really appreciate you.
I totally appreciate you. I can't wait for us to sit down and share a meal. This is going to happen. I mean, they're, you know, working and working and working. I went out for the first time to dinner for the first time since all this COVID stuff started. Just a couple of days ago, nervous as I don't know what, but I did it. And now people are starting to really get out there. I'm in Vegas, so the traffic is nuts. You know, people are coming in for travel. And it's like, you know, in a way I'm happy because we live off of tourism in Vegas. You know, we're the adult Disneyland. True. But on the other side, I'm like, what if they're not right? And we're bringing all these people in. It's a little nervous. It's a little nervous. I got to tell you, you're an amazing lady. You're an awesome person to know. I totally consider you part of my family and part of my inner circle. And I can't wait for Saturday, May 22nd, 9 a.m. is Pacific time, 12 noon Eastern, to just kick off the Now Honors and to honor you as our Woman of the Year, because you truly are more the Woman of the Decade. You know, I just, I couldn't get an award big enough in a box, you know, for Woman of the Decade. We'll work on that for next time.
That's amazing. Well, I look forward to it. I'm certain it's going to be phenomenal.
We're going to have a blast. I want to thank you for coming out and hanging out with me today and just sharing a little bit of time and a little bit of your savvy wisdom. You see how I tied that in?
Nice job.
You see how I did that? You know, a little bit of your savvy wisdom. I know that, you know, you say things like, you know, take notice, decide, and then maybe switch. You know, I'm going to ask this one last question before I let you go. What happens when people are fixated? That's what my mother used to call it, fixated. Their answers are everywhere else, but they're targeted to the wrong place. They're missing what their blessing really was. How do you know when you're going down that road, that journey, if you're navigating the right way, or if maybe you need to decide and make a switch?
Yeah, you know, sometimes you don't know. Sometimes, I mean, you really don't. Right. When you're working toward a goal and if and when you're doing everything that's necessary to get there, meaning you're feeling as if you're already there, but yet you're not seeing any evidence of it. And this is can be very frustrating for people. Sometimes you don't know, but you've got to check in with your feelings, because when you're feeling as if you already have that which you desire, it will manifest into form. And just understand there's a process. It's called the law of gestation. So there's a period of time that's going to unfold before that seed, which is your idea, your goal, is going to manifest into form. So when you know that and you respect it and you trust it, so you know, respect, and trust, then you will build the belief and you're going to see it manifest into form.
Well, I thank you, my friend, for coming and hanging out. Let's tell everybody how they can find you again and how they can find your book.
Sure. Well, Savvy Wisdom is available everywhere. It's available on Amazon. It's also, you can find it on my website, peggymccoll.com, peggymccoll.com.
Awesome. You are the best. I can't wait. You know, I'm going to think of something else and be like, hi, can you come on again? This is just awesome having you.
Thank you, Teresa. I really appreciate being here.
Thank you. I appreciate having you here. Hey, everybody, you know how I do. This is Expert Talk Extra. We're doing a little extra today and going live, because who doesn't want to go live when it's Miss Peggy McCall that can come on? And as always, you know who I am and what I do. I'm Tego, and I'll talk to you next time.
Expert Talk is produced and distributed by Melrose 11 LLC. Lights, cameras, take action. With Melrose 11.